versus Nebraska Public Power District. Mr. Cox, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'd like to introduce to the court Mr. Peter Ratner, who is my co-counsel. He's been admitted pro hoc vici, and he will argue the case for the appellants.
Mr. Ratner, good morning to you.
Thank you. May it please the court. This court has long held that statutory interpretation begins and ends with clear, unambiguous text. The text of Exemption 3 of the Public Records Law is clear and unambiguous. Regardless of any competitive implications, disclosure of government documents is required if it would serve, unless it would serve, quote, no public purpose. That statutory language does not allow for balancing purposes that might serve or disserve in determining the overall public interest. It requires an inquiry into whether any public purpose. Because the district court here applied a balancing approach that cannot be squared with that statutory text, this court should reverse. And the public purposes that would be served here are quite clear. At trial, Axman presented testimony from Professor Ernie Goff, Creighton University, who had studied NPPE's financial model and determined that it poses a clear and present danger to ratepayers and taxpayers in Nebraska. He said that he can't complete that study without the individual cost and revenue information regarding NPPE's power plants.
Had he ever asked for it?
He had not, Your Honor. But
of course, is that significant?
It is not, Your Honor. This court has never instituted some sort of rule that first requesters are the only people, or that first requesters can't get the information unless someone else is. I think what you're getting at, Your Honor, is NPPD's argument about credibility determinations in this case, that Mr. Goss is somehow, Professor Goss is somehow not credible because he hadn't requested the information before. Dr. Goss isn't a lawyer. He's an academic. There's no requirement that he go out and make formal public records requests, retain counsel, and go through this protracted litigation. The important point on credibility determinations is that the district court didn't make it. It never said anything about it. It never said anything about Mr. Krentz, a ratepayer, taxpayer, former board candidate, who also said that this is publicly benefited because it otherwise can't assess the performance of that. Didn't make those findings because it misread the statute. What the district court did was it understood the statute to allow a balancing of the overall public interest. At page 8 of its opinion, page 91 of the transcript, the district court made very clear what it was. It said, release of this information would have competitively harmful effects on NPPE, and, quote, such a result would serve no public purpose. That's
counsel, a balancing. Counsel, how's that a balancing? What if the court just simply finds it's harmful, period?
Your Honor, that would be a balancing test, but it would be a finding that what the legislature requires is no public purpose be served. Not that some other public purpose might be disserved. What the district court did, we say it's a balancing test, Your Honor, because that's the only plausible way to understand it. What the district court said was the weight on the competitive interest side is so heavy that no other public purpose could possibly overwhelm it. That's balancing. And it's what the district court foreclosed. It's what the legislature foreclosed. We know that it foreclosed it because in the related open meetings law, that's where the legislature authorized the sort of inquiry that the district court. In Section 84.14.10, the legislature said open meetings can be closed to the public, very similar to allow withholding of public documents, if doing so is clearly necessary, quote, for the protection of the public interest. That linguistic difference makes it is enormous. There, what the legislature was talking about, with the definite article of the and the aggregate public interest, was doing what the district court did. Take the purposes that cut against disclosure, weigh them against the purposes that cut in favor of disclosure, and see which one is weighted.
Do you think that the trial court was importing the vocabulary of discovery into the statutory area?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
In the sense of, oh, it's burdensome, let's not do it.
Well, it may have been, yes, and I think it may have been getting at that when it says that, you know, the auditor has this information available to it, enough that this is enough information available to the public, and so we don't need to put any additional burden on
it. I'm not addressing the potential of the competitive universe, which may or may not be a good idea or accurate. I'm just sort of saying, what's the rationale that's expressed for denying the request?
The rationale that's expressed for denying the request, Your Honor, is that it would cause a competitive injury to NTPD, and that, quote, such a result would serve no public purpose. We think the only way to understand that is that what the district court did was balance the purposes in favor of disclosure and not against. If what the district court was doing was importing discovery rules, there's absolutely no basis. What we're dealing with is a statute that is extremely clear and concise. As the Supreme Court of Iowa, the only court to look at this language, said in the Northeast Council case and in the Iowa film production case, this is not an accident that this imposes a big burden on the government.
Both of the Iowa cases did not involve proprietary functions of the government agencies. They were outside agencies' secrets, if you will.
Correct. It was third-party information.
So what I want you to address, because I think it's not clear from your brief, when a governmental agency engages in a proprietary function and it possesses information that gives it a commercial advantage to competitors, under your interpretation of this statute, would there ever be a situation where it could protect and refuse to disclose that commercial advantage information?
Yes, Your Honor, there would.
And just how would you reason that? Because wouldn't your arguments about the utility, the reasonableness of the operations, the feasibility, whether the public body is being responsible, wouldn't all of those sorts of things apply in every case?
No, they wouldn't, Your Honor. We think they would apply in many cases, and that's by design. But it's not hard to imagine business processes or methods or shipping schedules, things a competitor might be interested in that have a proprietary value to an agency, but that the public really has no interest. And I think the context here is really important. We are talking about one of 20 exemptions to the general rule that all government documents must be made available. This is a heavy burden for the government to carry, and it is a heavy burden by design. Unless you fit neatly within one of these exemptions, all public documents. And this is not a list that the legislature put together haphazardly or has ignored since enacted. This is a carefully curated, frequently amended list of exemptions. Since its enactment...
What was the source of the legislature's vocabulary there, or their wording? Do we know?
The legislative history is not as well developed as we would have liked. There is a suggestion in the legislative history that in putting together the exemptions, the legislature did look to the state of Iowa, but plenty of other freedom of information laws exist. And there's, for example, the federal one includes no language about no public purpose. There's every reason to think the legislature did this intentionally. It's important to note, Your Honor, the legislature has amended this provision, this section, 84.712.5, 8 times in the last 10 years alone, 20 times since it was enacted. This is not something they're not aware of. The general rule here is everything must be disclosed. So we agree. There's a heavy thumb on the scales in favor of disclosure.
The example you just gave to Justice Castle's question, where you talked about, for example, rate schedules of railroads and so forth, wouldn't that be always something that someone like Mr. Goss would be interested in?
It may be the case that an individual person would be interested in it, Your Honor, but it does have to be a showing of public purpose. And we think that that is what makes this case awfully easy. The legislature has codified that fiscal records like these that the public records laws are supposed to be liberally construed. That's 84.712.1.
Is the tension under sub 3 this between using the words of private enterprise, like proprietary and trade secrets and things of that nature, when discussing a public entity?
We don't think there's any inconsistency. You know, MPPD is not here arguing it has trade secrets, and it's not here that it has academics. It's arguing it has proprietary information, which the disclosure of which would serve no public purpose.
Counsel, what difference does it make that the actual records are not in our record, sealed or otherwise?
We don't think it makes any difference, Your Honor. I think what you're getting at is that the court perhaps should have examined these records and determined whether there would be a public purpose. That may be so, but we think that there's no dispute about what the records are. It's cost, revenue, and generation information for each of NTPD's power. And we think that determination can be made without the records. But we would have no objection to the court reviewing taking that. Unless there are any further questions, I'd love to say.
Thank you very much. Mr. Renner, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Well, please the court. I'm Sean Renner. I appear today on behalf of the Nebraska Public Power District, which is the relator and appellee in this matter. Mr. Ratner's law firm made a public record request on behalf of Axiomet Resource Management that contained 22 pretty broadly described categories of information that it sought from NPD. NPD provided the vast majority of the information it sought. It withheld documents that are described in three of those 22 categories. And those documents consist of revenue and expense information broken down on an individual generation resource or generation plant basis.
Those records are not, they're not, they weren't before the district court. They're not before us, are they?
That's correct, Your Honor. There's no effort made by either party to put them into evidence. Every record that would show either a cost or a revenue factor for each of the many generation resources that NPD has, both that they own and that they can track.
The record suggests that there were over 500 such.
Those are cost centers, yeah.
Yes.
And the documents would far exceed that. I don't have any way of quantifying the number of pages or the number of individual documents, but think about costs as it relates to, say, Cooper Nuclear Station. There are a wide variety of costs, and there would be a wide variety of documents that would reflect those wide variety of costs.
How are we to ferret out from this record what the competitive disadvantage to NPD would be in the absence of the records?
I think the district court did a good job of that, Your Honor. Tom Kent is Nebraska Public Power District's chief operating officer, and he testified at length at the trial. He described in a fair amount of detail the operation of the Southwest Power Pool. The Southwest Power Pool is a regional transmission organization under the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and it operates an energy market for a 14-state agent or area in the center of the country that includes almost all of Nebraska and all of NPD's facilities. That market operates based on marginal costs.
Well, I understand where he was suggesting that there was some competitive disadvantage that could arise from disclosing recent records, but I didn't read his testimony to suggest that information 5 years old or 3 years old would result in any competitive disadvantage.
I think there is testimony that effect, Your Honor. I can't cite you to the page. There's a couple hundred pages or 150 pages of Mr. Kent's testimony, but he did testify that the bids are created based on a variety of factors, both to purchase and to sell electricity in SPP, and that even for older information, one could go back, a competitor could go back and take that information and, in effect, back engineer the basis for NPD's bidding strategy. And that's a competitive disadvantage. The Southwest Power Pool includes public entities like NPPD or OPPD, the Nebraska Public Power Entities, which by statute are public and operate proprietarily. It also includes a number of private entities that are not subject to any public records laws whatsoever. And those entities all compete based on their marginal cost of producing that next megawatt of electricity. And it's that competition that is harmed here. And Judge Steinke found, by clear and convincing evidence, that there was no question that was going to happen. His order is very clear on that. And he found, Mr. Ratner's position is, well, there's got to be a public purpose out there somewhere because there always is. And the district court's order rebuts that in a pretty significant way. It says, given these competitive concerns, and given that the upshot of being unable to compete fairly is that NPPD's ratepayers will suffer, there's not a public interest in releasing this specific cost information. There's all kinds of information. Again, NPPD provided thousands of pages of information to Accident Resources Management about its operations overall. This breaks it down to plant-specific information, and that's the basis for bidding in the Southwest Power Pool. That's why it's a harm. It's a harm not just to NPPD, but to all its ratepayers. The consequence of being unable to compete fairly with other energy providers
is that a consequence of having public power.
I don't think so, Your Honor. The public power statutes, the statutes that create public power districts in Nebraska, require that the statutes be operated and the rates be set in a way that provides the benefit of a profitably run business to Nebraska ratepayers. That's 7655 is the statute.
And does that supersede the open records law?
It doesn't. But when you're trying to understand, is there some public purpose in releasing this information, it's something that the court can and should consider.
Are you translating that, that being businesslike is a public purpose?
It has to be a factor that's considered in public purpose. NPPD has a statutory obligation to operate its business so that its ratepayers receive the benefit of a profitably operated business. That's in the statute.
And what's the source of the six-year rate outlook? Is that customary? Is this some industry thing?
It's something that NPPD does regularly. And to be clear, NPPD provided all the six-year rate outlooks on an enterprise as a whole basis. Those were given to them. What we're talking about
Not on
an individual plant basis, that's right. And why the individual plant basis matters is that's how the bids are made into the Southwest Power Pool. The record shows the various resources that NPPD operates and contracts for: nuclear, hydro, wind, coal-fired. All of those have different cost components to them. All of them have different revenue components to them. And all of those are bid individually.
Are these rolling rate outlooks?
Yeah, each year there's another six-year rate outlook.
Was there any rationale to differentiate between each year's six-year outlook? Terms of the sensitivity?
I don't think so. Those are forward-looking documents that project what the costs and the revenues will be so that NPPD's board of directors can set rates, as is also required by a Nebraska statute. They have to have a rate-setting mechanism. There is a statutory mechanism that tells people how they can object to NPPD rates if they think they're inappropriate. Information is provided by NPPD to allow customers to have input, both retail and wholesale, in that process. That's all also contained in the record.
I guess my question would be, are there any of these six-year outlooks that have come and gone?
They look at a six-year period, and the next year looks at another six-year period. So I don't remember
so
the
So if it's 08 plus 6, its vision expired in 14.
And all that gets rolled up and considered into the next one as well. I think the answer is no.
Are they equally sensitive?
I don't think you can tell from the record one way or another. They contain the sort of information that Mr. Kent testified would allow a competitor to understand NPPD's bidding strategy.
But I think my question somewhat echoes Justice Castle's. How do we know some documents are more sensitive than others?
Two things, I guess, Your Honor. First, this is a mandamus action. It's a writ. Extraordinary writ, not a writ of right, and the district court under Vesterna has discretion whether or not to issue a peremptory writ. District court here sat through a day of testimony, listened to quite a bit of evidence, and received a bunch of documentary evidence about how the Southwest Power Pool works, how NPPD's bidding works in the Southwest Power Pool, and what impact it would have on the public if NPPD was unable to fairly compete in the Southwest Power Pool. It found, by clear and convincing evidence, that NPPD's ratepayers would suffer if NPPD...
And our standard of review is?
Your standard review is set out in Vesterna. First of all, there's no challenge to any factual finding here. There is no assignment of error that any fact Judge Steinke found is incorrect. That would be they'd have to show clearly erroneous, and there's no assignment there. The only assignment is that Judge Steinke either misunderstood or misinterpreted this one phrase in the statutory exemption.
So it's really a statutory interpretation issue.
That's how they frame it, Your Honor. The reason they frame it that way is because they want this court to look at it de novo and take a new cut at it. I think it is important that the court understand that public purpose is an interesting concept. It's obviously a very broad concept. It may differ from case to case what a public purpose is. And I think the way a court thinks about a public purpose and looks at it is exactly the way the district court did here. What is the subject matter that we're talking about?
If we do it in terms of public purpose, why isn't our public purpose better than the district court's public purpose?
Assuming that you take the factual findings as they are, and not challenged and found by clear and convincing evidence, I think you're going to come to the same position, Your Honor. It's going to get you to the same place. You can't think about public purpose in the abstract. What Mr. Ratner wants you to do is to say, more public information is better than less public information. There has to be a public purpose out there. The record is clear until this. No one ever asked for this information. Nobody. Not a ratepayer, not a competitor. Nobody has ever asked for it. It is insufficient to say, I could conceive of something that might be different in a different case, or I can say that more information is always better than less information. This case is tied to a specific factual record that the court needs to keep in mind in deciding what the public purpose is, and I submit to you that when you do that, you'll affirm the district court because he got it right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
40
seconds, Mr. Ratner.
Thank you. I'd like to make three quick points, if I might. First, on Justice Castle's question about proprietary functions, it's important to note that is already accounted for in exemption. It creates the possibility that the government might have proprietary documents of its own, not just third-party documents. It doesn't obviate it, whether there's no public purpose that we're concerned.
But it's the release of the documents, not the mere existence of the records. It's the release of the secret that has to serve no public purpose.
Correct, Your Honor. We think that provision will do its most work with third-party documents, because generally government won't have its own. When it does, it still has to satisfy the no public purpose. And on that prong, contrary to that caricature of our argument, we are not saying there must be some public purpose because more information is better. We are saying the same thing we've argued the entire time. Ratepayers, taxpayers, and voters need this information. It's a fiscal record of a government, which is core information that the public needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much.